Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll continue right where we left off last time in this marvelous chapter that speaks to us of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, as we move on in this great testimony, this great illustration, example of the nature and character of true faith, of biblical faith, of justifying faith, the grace of faith that is wrought in our hearts by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, there's probably no more greater example of what has been said already in this chapter, particularly in verse 1 regarding faith, than Noah. For Noah was a man of faith. He was a righteous man, like Abel before him. And the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 6, just like Enoch, he walked with God. Now, there's no greater scripture, and certainly there's no greater story in the Old Testament than the story of Noah and the preservation of the godly seed and the promise of God through the grace of God in and Noah and his family, that is recorded there in Genesis chapter 6. Besides creation itself and the fall of man and the consequences of that fall, as it's recorded for us in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, the story of Noah and the flood has great consequences and ramifications, not only to the world in general, but to the church in particular. Those great events, if you understand one, you understand the others. And certainly we recognize, as we've already looked at this chapter, in verse 2 and verse 3, as the apostle speaks of those fathers or those elders that lived before us, and then he includes himself as they received the favor of God and the grace of God. They accepted the Bible record of Genesis, and particularly the Bible's record of creation. So creation and the fall and the flood help us to explain many things. Today we read in the book of, and there's much to say about this, though we won't be able to say it all because we're not dealing just specifically with Genesis, but again throughout the whole New Testament, certainly when we come to the last epistle of Peter, in his two epistles that are preserved for us in the New Testament, in the last chapter he makes reference to the flood and the world that was as compared to the world that is. and we have no understanding except for the understanding and the instruction that we have from Scripture, what it was before the flood. Because what we see now not only has been influenced and has had direct consequences from the fall of man, not only ourselves, our men's thinking, men's bodies, the whole of creation, but the flood. And certainly Noah is a good example. Noah is the only one we read and we made reference previously, not last week, but the week before, to Enoch in that great chapter, chapter 5 in the book of Genesis, that presents the generation of Adam through Seth, and speaks of that godly line, the godly scene, over against and in contrast to the ungodly line, and presents to us these men that were preserved in the faith and trusted in God. And as we read in chapter 5, we come to the last name, and Noah. And Noah stands alone in that chapter as the only man that's mentioned, and of course that carries over into the next chapter, and not only the next chapter, but those things that take place after the flood. So Noah is an important character. He's an important person by the grace of God for us to know, and the things at that time and those things testify to us concerning faith. Now, Noah, we've spoken of Abel, and we've spoken about Enoch here in Scripture, and certainly we've spoken generally about the elders in the Old Testament, or these ancients, which we'll speak more of, or which this, Lord willing, in which the Scripture text speaks more of. But certainly no, especially after we've read verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then we read, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet, not seen as yet. See how it ties it in. And Noah is a great example. And the emphasis that's placed here is that Noah, when he was warned, or when he was communicated, when God communicated to him and announced to him the things that would take place, these extraordinary things, these things that were unprecedented in the world, for God would speak to him of rain, and would speak to him of flood, and would speak to him of total destruction. These things were unknown to Noah, and unknown to the generations that preceded Noah. What could he have known of these things, for they had not occurred? But God revealed them unto him. And so the life of Noah is a life that testifies to his belief in God, that he took God at his word, and he lived his life in such a way that it demonstrated his faith, because he prepared himself an ark that would speak of safety and salvation. Of course, the blessed truth of Scripture is unfolded even in the names that are given to us, and the name that Noah's father gave to him, certainly by the instruction, or at least the work of the Holy Spirit in his heart, because these names have biblical meaning. And Noah's name, of course, meant rest or comfort. That in the days of sin and the increase of ungodliness, there was a promise of comfort and assurance of rest as people found in God and the faith that God blessed them with, their hope from the judgment that would come upon the earth. These things were not known. This great catastrophe of the deluge of God's judgment upon the earth that would soon come. Noah believed in, and he testified during his whole lifetime. Now it's interesting as we look at the scripture in the life of Noah. One of the things that we read about him in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, especially as we read through all the comments and the instruction the Holy Spirit gives us concerning not only the time in which Noah lived, which is integral and really important for us to understand concerning his faith and what he did in obedience to God, but the testimony that Noah's faith bears within it all, that at the end of that sixth chapter in the 22nd verse, it says of Noah, because he believed God, he trusted God, and that faith, work of faith in his heart would bear fruit. The fruit and evidence of Noah's faith became evident when it tells us, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. The evidence, the proof that he believed in God, that he believed in God's word, that he believed in things not seen, that he believed in things that were never seen upon the earth before, that he was able, by the grace of God, to testify to the work of God's righteousness within his heart, that he obeyed God in everything that he did, that Noah, this man whose life spoke of rest and of hope and in comfort, not only for himself, not only for his wife and his three sons and their wives, but testifies to us, of course, of the great salvation that we find in the ark of Jesus Christ. He lived every day his life by faith. The righteous, we read already in the previous chapter, and we read in Romans, and we read in Galatians, taken from, of course, the Old Testament, the righteous live by faith. And so Noah testified, or God testified, in the life of Noah that he lived by faith. And for 120 years, as God warned or gave him instruction concerning the time that would be left, he built himself according to the directions that God gave, and all the directions that God gave, he built himself an ark for the salvation of himself and his household. But it's interesting, of course, and we have to consider, when we consider the life of Noah over against the life of the majority of the world in which he lived, in contrast to the testimony that God bore in Noah's time, and of course bore for us in Scripture, and all the way through Scripture, the record of God's grace upon him, as well as the judgment he brought on the earth. Now there's no more interesting and no more important chapter in the Old Testament other than the story again of creation, or the story and the record of man's fall, and of course the great promise of deliverance and the gospel through the seed of the woman is chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, when it tells us that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took of them wives of all which they chose. And then began the great amalgamation of the sons of God with the daughters of men, or the godly seed with the ungodly seed. The distinction and the separation that God gave at the very beginning, even in Genesis chapter 3:15, when God would put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the man, the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent, that enmity, that hatred, that division, that distinction, the distinction between those who would be in faith and of faith, those who believed in God and trusted His Word and lived according to His Word, and those who disregarded God, had no time for God, and had not God in their thoughts, became less and less, except for very few. Now we can take, and as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, when we dealt with Enoch, it doesn't take great wisdom to do a little calculation as we study the book of Genesis, particularly Genesis chapter 5, and see the time frame from creation to the flood. And we recognize that Noah was 600 years when he entered into the ark. We recognize this when we calculate the time framework. It wasn't very long when we think of it in terms of scripture in the history of man. About 1,600 years, 1,656 years, according to scripture, as a matter of fact, when the flood came upon the world. Adam lived and died just a few years, just 100 years or so before, living to 900 years, before the birth of Noah. It's interesting to see the overlap of these men and how the faith is passed down and the things that they endured and testify to one to the other. But there, during this time, as we see from chapter 6, that division or that distinction which was given by God, established by God in the hearts and minds of His people over against those who were not His people, began to be broken down, and godliness decreased and ungodliness increased. And that distinction and that separation became between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, between God's people and those who weren't God's people, became less and less observable as the line of Cain increased, and as as the church lost its holiness and its distinctiveness, as the world was amalgamated into the church, or the church became more like the world. Proverbs 29 verse 16 tells us, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases. And the wicked were being multiplied as the righteous and the godly line became less and less distinct. And so we recognize the progression. So we think of the time in which Noah lived was a time of great sin. Actually, there was no time recorded for us in Scripture, in the whole of the Old Testament, where there is a contrast between faith and unbelief, obedience and disobedience, godliness and ungodliness, as presented and pictured to us in Scripture in Genesis chapter 6, in the days in which Noah lived, which made his life, made his testimony, and the grace of God more blessed and distinct in what he did and what he believed and acted. So these were days of great wickedness, of sin. We see that all the way through chapter 6, as we read in verse 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, and the judgment that God pronounces upon them. Now we recognize that all during this time, the New Testament, over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, declares to us that Noah, by his works, Noah, the evidence of his faith, which is testified to by what he did in building the ark and being obedient to God, he acted as a great preacher of righteousness. Now, whether he was active as well in proclaiming the truth as well as testifying the truth, we don't have a lot to go on in Scripture. Nevertheless, the Bible speaks of him as declaring the righteousness which is of God, the righteousness which is by faith in Jesus Christ. So there's much to tell us about Noah and the fact that God gave him and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Except the Bible does tell us, and of course brings that beautiful parallel to bear in the New Testament in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew. And if you recall, when we went through the book of Matthew, we certainly looked at these words as well in the 24th chapter in verse 37, when Jesus says, "As in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took him all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left." Now, of course, what we see here, there's not a condemnation when we read this phrase. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. There's not a condemnation in itself of the fact that we have to eat and to drink to live, or a condemnation of the idea of marriage. But the idea is there was no reference to God in anything they did. They did not have God in their minds. They did not consider the end to which even Enoch, we've seen, testified of when he spoke about the judgment of God to come. And certainly which Noah, by building this ark that was certainly unfamiliar. Why in the world would he build an ark out in the middle of nowhere? Such a big, big thing. When it had not even rained upon the earth, let alone a flood. These were things that were unknown. But God was going to bring a judgment. So it will be. There's a comparison and a contrast to the days that precede the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and preceding the final and the great judgment of all mankind. As one was taken into the ark and saved, so it will be. One will be taken to heaven and one will be left to judgment. One will be left to judgment. There'll be no concern. There'll be no thought of God or things to come. They'll be eating and drinking, but they will not be eating and drinking according to the instruction that we have of the Apostle Paul by faith to the glory of God. For Paul teaches us in Corinthians, whether we eat and we drink, And everything that we do in our ordinary life, we have to consider the glory of God and the intent that God had for us and the faith. But men will live as they lived then, unconcerned, very carelessly. They will continue to live as they always have lived, without any regard to God, believing things will always be as they have, entirely wrapped up in themselves, rejecting and neglecting eternal values and spiritual values. They'll have a false security, and they'll be very selfish in all that they do. They will fail, and they have failed, and they will fail to account to the fact that everyone must give and will give an account to God in judgment. They need to, as the Bible warns us, and that's the purpose of this passage in the book of Matthew. Jesus goes on to say immediately in the next verse, in verse 42, to remind the believers to be watchful, to be on the alert, to be prepared, living by faith, doing all that we do in faith and by faith, to the glory of God, just as Noah did in his own day. He believed in that which he did not see, and which was never seen. But he was so persuaded by them, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, being warned or being instructed of God of things not yet seen, was moved with fear. Now this word, being moved with fear, it means that Noah was moved with godly fear, was moved with reverence, because he believed in God, because he knew that he was a rewarder or a judge of all things. Again, there's no more beautiful example in this verse that testifies not only of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, but Hebrews chapter 1 verse 6. Noah was moved because he feared God. The Bible tells us the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. This isn't fear, meaning that Noah feared the judgment of God, because he found in that promise, and he found in the revelation of God and the communication that God gave him, the safety for himself and his own household, the safety that was provided in God and by God himself, in his grace, and in the one who would come, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no question. We see Noah acting immediately, acting for 120, that's a long time when you think of it, 120 years. That's a long time. And each and every day as he woke up and as he went about the day's work that was required of him to build that ark, it was tedious, it was tiresome. Day after day, not only has he responded to obedience to the will of God, but as he had to fend off the mockery and the laughter and the disobedience and the rejection of faith by those around him, being tested and tried day in and day out, yet without question. He trusted in God because he trusted in the promise of God. He trusted in the Word of God because he trusted in the greatness and the power of God to do what he declared he would do. So by means of faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. There's a lot in this verse. Not only that testifies to the biblical character of the life of Noah, because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And when it speaks about faith, and when it speaks about righteousness, even way back in Genesis chapter 6, as it describes the character and the nature of Noah, we recognize we always have to interpret these words and these phrases and these ideas by the whole. When it tells us in verse 8 and then verse 10, when it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord," and then it goes on and says, "And these are the generations of Noah, and Noah was a just man." Of course, we recognize the word just means he was a righteous man. But he wasn't a righteous man because he possessed his own righteousness. Because we know the Bible to tell us all our righteousness, the righteousness of man, is this filthy rag. Because we recognize that this verse is based on the previous verse. His righteousness was of God's righteousness. This was God's pronouncement upon him because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness upon him. Noah was a just man and a perfect man in his generation, and Noah walked with God. He walked with God, and he was a just man, and he obeyed God because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God extended to Noah. God extended to Noah, first of all, the revelation of his word. He spoke to Noah things yet to come. And he gave to Noah a believing heart, that he would embrace those things, and he would believe in those things, and he would walk in those things. We'll see that a little later on when we come down in this 11th chapter to verse 13, that describes not only the faith of Sarah and the faith of Abraham, as well as the faith of Noah, the faith of Enoch, the faith of Abel, and the faith of all God's elect, when it has this glorious phrase in it, and I'll use it and refer to it again. It's one of the most marvelous things here in this chapter, when it says they all died in faith. That is, they all died in life, except we recognize Enoch not having received the promises. In other words, they heard the promises. They heard it. It's not that they didn't receive it and believe in it, but in other words, they didn't see the final fruition, the end of those promises. They all died in faith because they all didn't say the death of Christ in history, and didn't all see the glory of the last day. And they all died of faith, not having received the promise, but having them see them, seeing them far off. And this goes back to verse 6. This goes back to verse 1. On the basis of the word of, you cannot separate faith from the word of God, the promise of God, as it is in Scripture. All these died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them far off, and were persuaded of them. They embraced them. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. There's a progression in these words, and these words have great meaning when it speaks about they have received and rested upon the word. No question in the life of Noah. So he was moved with godly reverence and fear as he prepared and responded as an evidence to his faith in building an ark that secured him, of course, from the judgment that came. At the same time, he condemned the world, or God condemned the world in that judgment. And God, through the testimony of Noah's faith and work, gave evidence to that condemnation for his obedience of faith. And became, notice that last phrase, an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. In other words, all the blessings and benefits that are given by God in his declaration of grace and righteousness, he was a receiver of, and he benefited from that. And he, like those who were before him, walked with God. God blessed them. And in the hour, whether it was Enoch in his translation, or whether it was Abel in his death, or finally when Noah would face his maker in death, he went to heaven. He went to heaven. And he is an heir. The idea heir is not only the fact that we'll get an inheritance, but the inheritance is ours. He possessed it by faith. And he lived out that possession by faith as he pleased God. What a beautiful testimony. And what so much we can learn from Genesis. Not only 6, 7, and that which testifies, but testifies throughout the New Testament of Noah, and the grace of faith that he lived by, and he confessed by the power of the Holy Spirit.